Joanne says that the Squirrel Hill Workshop is an eclectic group, and I think you can hear that tonight. And there's a richness in that eclectic group. And I'm really glad that she included poems by some of the people who are still with us. Well, Ann Curran said last year that when you go last, you should read sexy poems to wake people up. But instead, I'm going to turn to humor. I think we need some humor, given what's going on in Washington. This is a poem I wrote during the campaign. Cat in the Hat Campaign. I've listened to Hillary, I've listened to Trump, but the Cat in the Hat wants to take to the stump. He plans to visit the red states and campaign in blue, unite the divided in a wonderful coup. He'll call on the House, he'll call on the Senate, he'll speak to Paul Ryan about each of his tenets. When the elephant trumpets and the donkey brays, the Cat in the Hat will weave through the maze. He'll consult Yertle the turtle, since turtles run free. He believes all creatures should feel their esprit. He'll visit the Lorax, he'll speak for the trees. He'll address climate change and even save bees. A trip he will take to the Washington Zoo, where he'll study the pandas' black and white views. He'll denounce politicians given to slander and limit debates which promote propaganda. No pandering, slandering in his upbeat campaign. This cat is the master of leisure domain. He'll show us his tax forms and open email. In all of his speeches, compassion prevails. The Cat in the Hat will lift up his cup. The milk and the cake he'll adroitly hold up. He'll juggle his books and the fish on a rake, then balance the budget, whatever it takes. Look at us, he'll declare as he opens the box. Thing one and thing two will clearly take stock of the shape of the nation. They'll clean up this mess. No guile they'll employ, only finesse. The Cat in the Hat will build bridges, not walls. He even is open to neighborly calls. Donning sombrero, a cap, or a fez, he tips his hat to the nation and smiles, "Call me Prez." The Pittsburgh Poetry Society had a contest last month, and we were supposed to write a poem about teenagers. Now, I taught teenagers for 40 years in high school. And so I thought of that book that you may have read, The Catcher in the Rye. Dear Holden, you sat in my class, fourth seat by the window. Dressed in goth, you dozed, responding only when Robert Burns said he hoped to meet a body coming through the rye. You awoke to Gardner's Grendel, raised your middle finger to the unresponsive sky. Joined the adolescent monster in howling. Complained classmates saw all life without observing. Walking the halls with Grendel, you muttered to your shadow. You responded to the stirrings of spring, closed crocus jaws on the school lawn. Did the shaper speak to you? Was it the pull of poetry on your teenage angst? You said his songs lured you and others to the fire dragon's lair in the furnace room. You labeled Beowulf a phony, Unferth a drunken braggart. At the end of the semester, you turned to the girl behind you, called her Phoebe, murmured, "Wish there were more honest sisters in my world." I was a tomboy. I had a brother 14 months older, so I had to play hard to get to play with the boys. So here's an ode to my mitt. I unwrap the birthday paper, trace the scripted R with my index finger, Rawlings. I sniff new leather, draw the mitt onto my left hand, thump the sweet spot with my fist. "Thanks, Dad," I say. I thwack the stitched ball into the pocket. Open, close, open, close. Dad gives me neat's foot. I find a rag. "Easy on the oil," he cautions. That night I sleep with my mitt on. By 8 a.m., Sally and I are out in the driveway, throwing so hard it stings, a good sting. We keep an eye out for Sally's neighbor, Mr. McGregor. He snatches stray balls and stores them in his basement. For four nights, I tuck my mitt under my mattress, dream of shagging balls at Forbes Field. No princess bothered by a pee. I'm a Tommy girl, shagging balls in right field, my glove poised, waiting. To show you my devotion to poetry, I drove here from a Cape May vacation to get back tonight for this poetry reading. In Cape May, we go to Sunset Beach, and there's a rock shop there. It was run by a 94-year-old man who passed last year. But you could go in there and buy a geode. If you know anything about a geode, how you tap it and open and find that magical cave inside there. Cape May magic. At Sunset Beach, Harry combs the sand for Cape May diamonds, catches the glint of quartz crystals in the sun. Gangly, double-crested cormorants, half goose, half loon, fish from the stern of the SS Atlantis, the concrete ship that's sinking. On an outdoor table, he spies a pile of geodes, splits one with a hammer and chisel, wonders at amethyst sparkling in crystal caves. In a corner of the seaside shop, a treasure trove. Harry fingers scallops, periwinkle, channel whelk, sand dollars, starfish. I say your limit's three. He holds a conch to his ear, listens for the ocean, proclaims aloud, "Wizardry!" Then turns to me, "Here, Mom, it's for you." And finally, a poem I've written quite a few times, but this seems the right place to read it, my ode to Ray Charles. I don't have Georgia on my mind tonight. Only you, Brother Ray. Grateful for your honeysuckle baritone, how can we stop loving you? Thanks for brailing notes which make us feel more than we see. At the beacon you weaved on that piano bench, rocked the house, shouted, "Hallelujah!" You shook a tail feather, released gospel to R&B. In your wraparound Ray-Bans and shiny satin jacket, you riffed the keys black and white, set the Yamaha to singing. We found America the Beautiful in your singing, even after 9/11. You played a mean chess game, Ray, advancing pawns to King Cole. You sang your own song to your queen, "I've Got a Woman." After pondering, "What'd I say?" you hit the road to heaven with Jack to harmonize with Bessie, Ella, and the Duke. I can hear the angels tapping their halos and nodding, "Uh-huh!"